Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 53, picking up where we were last time. Let's read verses 1 through 5. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Heavenly Father, today, help us to see Jesus Christ, which this great chapter so eloquently presents him. Help us to see the Lord. Help us to not miss him. And Lord, I ask that the Holy Spirit would rest upon me and then touch the ears and hearts of those listening. Please, Lord, help us to see Jesus Christ. We give you, Lord, all the praise, all the credit, all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And I started to teach on this verse last time, but it's the beginning of a narrative, and I want to go ahead and go over it again. And just like last time, we looked at Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. And he went out thence, and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" And again the complaint, "Is this not the carpenter?" I mean, he's just a carpenter. We said last time that Jesus was just an ordinary guy until he started his ministry. And in fact, he was very God and very man. "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary?" Remember that, the son of Mary. I'll get to it in a second. "The brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and of Simeon. And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were all offended at him. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. We know that. We've been taught that again and again and again. And it's wonderful. I love to hear that story. But it's sometimes taught that Mary remained a virgin for the rest of her life, and in heaven she's still a virgin. And that's not so. That's not so. The Word of God teaches very plainly. We just read Mark chapter 6, verse 3. that he had brothers, and he lists four of them. We don't know how many sisters he had, but Jesus had sisters, and everybody in the town knew them, knew the family, understood everything about them, knew their nicknames, what have you. But the Bible is clear that Jesus, after he was born, he began to have brothers and sisters. In other words, after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph acted like normal married people. And they had sex, and they reproduced, just like everybody else. And if that's an offense to you, I'm sorry. But just as the rest of the verse says, and they were all offended at him. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And it says in verse 5 and 6 of Mark chapter 6, and he could there do no mighty work, save or excepting that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. That town, because they were offended at the Lord, they didn't have any faith, they had doubt. We're saved by grace through faith. All things are possible to him that believeth. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. We must have faith and not walk in doubt. But again, his entire town was offended at him. They were okay with him when he was just a carpenter, but when he stood up as a minister, as a prophet, as a preacher, what have you, and the Messiah, the Savior of the world, they were all offended at him. You know, it says that their complaint, isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, not the son of Joseph? You know, Jesus was called illegitimate all of his life. Nobody really took him seriously. Again, he was despised and rejected of men, just as Isaiah said. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Remember when Lazarus died, and Mary and Martha said, if you'd have got here on time, you could have healed him and he wouldn't be dead? Verse 35 of John chapter 11, it says that Jesus wept. This is God come from heaven, but in his humanity, he wept. He understood the pain and grief of Mary and Martha. He's well acquainted with grief, it says further on down. He wept over Jerusalem because they would not. They wouldn't gather to God. They wouldn't follow him. They instead wanted their own way. He wept, and he wept, and probably he wept. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And today, Jesus' own people, the Jews, they want nothing to do with him. But in verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 53, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, there's an interesting passage, which at first you'll say, well, this doesn't have anything to do with anything, but then you'll see it does. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 through 23. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that after they have chastised him or chastened him, he will not hearken unto them. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of that city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shall thou put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. It's interesting, if you think about the prodigal son, he could have been a glutton, he could have been a drunkard, but he went and wasted his father's inheritance. But his father loved him. It doesn't say in the passage that he was all that rebellious. He was just ready to go out and sow his wild oats, and the father let him. But he came to himself and repented and came back humble. And I don't have to tell the story again. It's been preached again and again and again. But he was received and forgiven through repentance. That's what repentance means. If you're walking one way, you stop, you turn around and walk the other. We shouldn't be rebellious against God. We should heed the word of God and the leading of the Spirit. We should obey the Lord and not rebel. But getting back to the story of the rebellious son, they executed him for rebellion. They executed him for living like a drunk and partying all night with his friends and whatever, a glutton and a drunkard. And he was executed by stoning, and that the evil would be put away, and that all Israel would hear about it and fear the Lord. That's verse 21, but verse 22 and 23 are interesting. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree. The previous verse said they stoned him with stones, but in this case, if there's a man that's committed a sin worthy of death, and they do execute him, and they hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged on a tree is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Again, in the context of Isaiah chapter 53, that rebellious son, he deserved to die, and he did die. And then the passage goes on and says, oh, by the way, if a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and you do execute him, and you choose to nail him to a tree, that's fine. You've executed a man for his sin, that's fine. But don't leave him nailed up there all night on that tree. No matter what, thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. And it says that whosoever is hanged on a tree is accursed of God. Who do we know that was nailed to a tree? Who do we know that they took him down that day? Who do we know? In John chapter 19, verse 31, it tells the story that the guys that said, hey, let's nail him to the tree, they made sure, hey, let's take him down before sundown. They were sure to do that. Again, this passage here in Deuteronomy chapter 21 is a prophecy of the passion of Christ that rebellious son, he was put to death. And that man, he was nailed to a tree, but taken down before sundown. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Again, these two incidences, they're prophecies of Christ. Both of these, the rebellious son and that other man, they were guilty. They deserved to die, but Jesus was guilty of none of that. We know that Jesus never committed a sin, not once in his entire life. But he was nailed to a tree. He was cursed of God. Remember, God the Father turned his face away. And Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? We often say that God cannot look upon sin. And as we'll get further on in these verses in Isaiah 53, when the sin of man was laid upon him, God turned his face away. That's often said. Again, Jesus was innocent. We're the guilty, but he died in our place, and we get to go free. The curse of sin, which is death, if you know Romans, he allowed that curse to fall on him, and we get to go free. But verse 5 in Isaiah 53, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You know, there's two doctrines that are sometimes taught. In past times and past decades, I would hear it more often, but today we've gotten away from theology. In most of the churches, I suppose. One is identification, that Jesus identified with us. He left heaven. He bowed the heavens and came down, and darkness was under his feet. That's in Psalms. He identified with the sinner. We're sinful. We're lost. We're undone. We're not going to go to heaven, not a single one of us, but the Lord. But the Lord came and redeemed us from all of our iniquities. He forgave us of all of our sins if we exercise the faith we talked about just a little bit ago. We can be justified to be declared righteous before God because of what Jesus did in dying in our place. And he identified with us. He was well acquainted with grief. He wept. He understood the human condition. And then he took the sins of the world. And as Galatians said, our sins were nailed to that tree. Identification. And the other doctrine, again, that's not heard of very much anymore, is the doctrine of substitution. We are guilty. We deserve to pay for our sins, but the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, was substituted. Substitution. He took our place. He took our punishment that we deserve. There was a substitution that took place, and we, if we trust in the Lord by faith, we can be forgiven, we can go free. All we like sheep have gone astray. The entire earth, every person on planet earth is in sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. We don't want to hear what God has to say. I know before I became a Christian, I didn't want to have anything to do with God. I rejected all of it. I didn't want to hear it. All we like sheep are gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity, the sin, the rebelliousness, etc. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. But verse 7, Isaiah 53, verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Again, a great prophecy of the passion of Christ. Luke 23, we all know the story. Luke 23, verse 8, I guess through 15. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad. And that's an interesting statement. We make Pilate and Herod out to be horrible people, and I know Herod was. I get that. But when Jesus finally came, brought by the guards after he had been arrested, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had been desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Now, I don't know, you can make something of that, I suppose. Jesus doesn't do things on command. God doesn't jump through hoops when we demand him. I don't quite understand what was in his heart, but he was glad to see him. And he had heard of all the thousands upon thousands of miracles Jesus performed, and he hoped to see one. Then he questioned him with many words, but it says he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, sent him at naught, or chastised him, flogged him, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And in verse 12, in the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. But look at verse 13, and Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you and have found no fault with this man. Touching the things whereof ye accuse him, no, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. Jesus was innocent. We know that. You can read the scriptures. He didn't do anything wrong. And he was accused by the Pharisees and what have you, the scribes, the Pharisees, the priests. In verse 10, and the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. You brought this man to me, Pilate said, and we also went to Herod. Neither one of us could find anything wrong. He's innocent. I find no fault in this man. He's innocent. Nothing worthy of death is found in him. But it says that all during the questioning, Jesus didn't say anything, but he answered him nothing. But he answered him nothing. Again, Isaiah 53 prophesies of what happened on the way to Calvary. He was taken from prison and judgment in verse 8, And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, in other words, he died, for the transgression of my people he was stricken. Okay, he was taken from prison and judgment. And who shall declare his generation? You know, all during the trial, remember outside, Peter denied the Lord three times. Nobody stood up and testified on his behalf. Who shall declare his generation? But he was cut off out of the land of the living. He died, and we know that. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net and click the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 3111 46th Street, Metairie, Louisiana 7001. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.